Welcome back to Reading and Writing for College Students of a class of the Christian Leaders Institute. My name is Sky Pike, and we are progressing right along to Unit 3. We're on the last section. We're going to talk about the process of thinking. This is something we really shouldn't, we probably don't think we need to think about, but in some ways, the process of thinking is automatic, but in other ways, it's a learned process. And we have to think about how we think. And we have to train our brain to think in the right way, and something called critical thinking, which we're going to talk about a little later. But for right now, we want to really dwell on this process of thinking, especially as it relates to the art in the process of reading. So how are we going to think about thinking and thinking and reading? Well, reading, your mind is actually exercising two different cognitive functions or two different states. And it's going to move back and forth between these two states. The first is a cognitive state. That's thinking. That's as you're reading the book, you're bringing in those words, you're comprehending those words, you're understanding the meaning of those words, you're grabbing that understanding, you're seeing the logic, and you're seeing what the author is meaning in the words that the author has written. The other state is metacognitive, and that's the part of thinking about thinking. And this way, when you're reading, and this can be true of even when you're thinking, it's a thought that I thought, I'm going to think about that thought and think if I thought it correctly or not, back and forth. It sounds like it's a roundabout way of doing things, but it's not. But let's put it in the context of reading. I'm going to read what the author says, and I'm going to then think about that, what that author says, in the context of my own experience, in the context of my own already knowledge, in the context of my own worldview. I'm going to think about the thinking that I'm already doing in the reading and the comprehension of it. When you start to do this long enough, it actually becomes quite natural, and you will do it. In fact, I know some of you already do this already. You say, well, teacher, that's not what I think. And it's because you've heard me, you've thought about what I said, and you thought about that you compared it to what you thought, and now you know that you don't think what I thought. Maybe other times you've had the listening to a teacher or a maybe a pastor, another speaker of some sort, another reading a book is the same way, and you go, aha! I understand something better now. That is also a thinking about thinking. That's a metacognitive function that your brain has done. Now, what we have to do when we're in a real reading is apply that all the time to what we're reading. And if we really want to have good thinking, we'll do it all the time to what we're thinking about thinking, what we're thinking about, we're thinking about. So in this process, the mind is going to it's going to work in a move in different ways. So we have a young lady, she's sitting in front of a book, probably a textbook, maybe it's her literature assignment for a reading class. And so now she has to figure out what all these things she's reading about mean. So we can see there's a forest picture in the book there. So she got something with her Children of the New Forest. Oh, maybe it's something, a sequel. So she reads a little bit, and then she's going to think about what in her mind, what is a forest? And then she's going to read a little bit more, and she's going to think, oh, what about this next topic? What does that mean? Oh, the whole concept in the book. How do I agree with that concept or not? Is it something I should think more about or not? So it's going forward. But then it's going back again, saying, how should I think about this? Is it, I'm checking what the author said against what's stored in my mind. about the way I understand things and saying, is that really a good way to understand things or not? Then it's going to go back to the book, in this case, the little girl has. It's going to read a little bit more. Maybe it has to back up and actually read what it did. I talked about Mere Christianity before by C.S. Lewis and how I would read the paragraph and then sit and think about it for a half hour, an hour. Well, usually I end up going back and reading the paragraph again because I couldn't. Now I had to apply the new understanding and thinking I got to what C.S. Lewis had written before. And so we're always going back and forth. Sometimes we have to read the paragraph again or the sentence again. Sometimes we don't. And then in all cases, in every sentence, in every paragraph, in every chapter, in every book, the mind has to rise above itself and take control of itself on these matters, saying, do I agree? Do I disagree? Sometimes even disciplining itself to stay with the task that it's on. I was using this method today a couple different ways. One was I was grading papers that my students had written. And I had students that I was scratching my head what in the world they were trying to say because the words were not making sense in the way they were using them to what they were supposed to be saying. So I had to go back and in many times infer what they were saying. Of course, I was grading the paper, so I was putting a lot of red on those papers and crossing out words and adding in what the proper word should be. But it was this whole process of, as I was reading, I was going forward a bit, then going back, what do they mean? Then checking it, okay, I know what the paper, there was actually a summary of a paper. I know what the paper said they were talking about. Said, is that the right thing to say to summarize this paper with? Is it not? I would go back and check what the writer had said, the student had written, and I would then go back again. And then I would say, okay, have they got the idea? I've got to rise above this whole thing. Has the student got the idea in this paper or have they not? What type of grade am I going to give to it? Those things where I look at it and say, is this paper worth an A? Is it worth a B? Is it worth a C, a D? Or is it not worth anything? The other way I was using it today, I was reading another scientific article. And those, again, are articles where I have to read. I have to get the introduction. So I read through the introduction, which is background. Then I start reading about the methods. And so then when I have to go back, when I'm looking at the methods, I have to go back to the background and say, okay, now, how are they going to use these methods in understanding this background information and this hypothesis, this question they're testing? And then I got to go and say, okay, do I understand what they're saying? Do I know what they're saying? And then I have to go back and forth between those two sections. Then I move on to the results. I do the same thing, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I look at the graphics and the tables that are in it, back and forth, back and forth. Do I understand it? And then I have to rise above everything I've written when I get to discussion and say, do I agree with what they're saying in this paper when they're discussing their conclusions? Do I agree with the conclusions? Do I not agree? Do I think they should have done something better? Should not have done something? What do they need to do now? What's the next step in this process to prove whatever point they're proving? And and this is something that I do really quite regularly when I'm reading. This is a process that's known as monitoring and assessing of the thinking while processing the thinking of others. It's that metacognitive processing. And so as we're reading what others are thinking, we're thinking about what they're thinking, and then we're also thinking about what we're thinking about what they're thinking. So it becomes a real involved process when you're thinking deeply about it. You have to, it's a focusing process, it's a meditative process, and it's also a learned process that we have to go through. So as you're reading a textbook, for instance, say you're reading a textbook on theology, what are you going to do? Okay, you read a passage, like I did with Mere Christianity, which is theology, and you read it and you say, Okay, what did the author mean? Okay, I'm going to read that paragraph again because I don't quite understand what they're meaning. You read it enough times so you get what they're meaning. And then you have to say, okay, now what is it that, do I agree with what they're saying? Or do I disagree with what they're saying? Is what they're saying is true or not? And then you're going to do that with every paragraph of the chapter. And you're going to say, when you get, you're going to do the same thing in a chapter. I'm going to think about whether I agree with what was said in the chapter. If the flow of logic I agree with in the chapter, is it right? When you're looking at textbooks, it's more about knowledge. So it's going to be, did they write this correctly? Do I understand what they're saying? Can I paraphrase what they're saying so that whatever that section is, I can go back and say, this is what they meant in this section. I used to study for tests in this way, actually, especially for anatomy and physiology. I would read the section, and then I would literally look at this. When I was studying for the test, I would look at the section header. I'd read through the whole chapter, look at the section header, and say, can I explain in two or three sentences what's underneath that section header? You're going to be doing the same thing when you do that. You're going to be reading the textbook, look at the section headers, and then be mindful of how that section header is being explained better by the words underneath that section header or the subsection header. And then that's a way to study as well for tests. So in practice, this is what you're going to be doing. It's a skill you have to be developed. And there are going to be times that it's going to be difficult for the student to understand what's being read, as I talked about with Mere Christianity with C.S. Lewis. In that case, we have to slow down, and we may have to paraphrase each sentence in our own words and then put the meaning of each sentence into our own words and string them together so we get the understanding of the paragraph in our own words. Other times, you're going to be reading something and realize that you don't necessarily agree with what this viewpoint is talking about. Now, the paper I was reading today, I was questioning whether what they were going to conclude would include was looking at the fact that if you have bad dental hygiene, your teeth aren't clean, you're more prone to heart attacks. And in this case, I thought of something the author should mention in the conclusion, in the discussion, and the authors did. The other day I was reading another piece, and I thought, I don't think I'm agreeing with this author very much. Well, I'll wait till I get to the end of the article. Maybe he's going to come back around and rescue himself. But the author never did in that case. But we always have to be unemotional. We have to look at the whole text before we pass judgment on it as to what we think about it. And we also need to be fair when we're doing that. Maybe we're just prejudiced and we're not looking at something correctly. Maybe what the reader is saying, what the author is saying is correct, and we as the reader need to adjust our mindset to whatever the reader or the author is saying and what we're reading. So, while reading, this mental process is an activity that's taking command and monitoring and measuring to formulate all these things here, purpose and the goals of what you read, of the right author meant, what you have for reading it, the questions, the problems and issues they're addressing, maybe information or data. That's especially true for textbooks, right? They're just trying to give you information and data or concepts and theories and ideas. Are you sure about the conclusions? Do you agree with them? Do you not? What are the assumptions underlying everything that's being said, which are usually not stated? You have to think about what those assumptions are and what are the implications and consequences, short-term and long-term, of what's being said. And what's the point of view of the author and what's your point of view. All these are being constantly monitored as you are going through a reading, taking command of the knowledge in the reading, understanding what the meaning means, and formulating in your own mind what the author meant in all these different areas and what you see for all these different areas. If you are doing all this, then that is learning while you read. And if you're doing all that and you do it every time you read, you've accomplished a great task. And I can tell you, there are many, many people around the world that will have not accomplished that task. This task of critically reading and critically thinking about what you are reading. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.